KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, a bit is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb. Wait, no.
No.
Jason.
Jason, that's right. And alas, we are minus Caleb this week.
Right.
If last week we were put on the spot of a brand new time slot, and now this week we're missing one of our regular co-hosts.
Right.
So it's been a little crazy here at Robots Attack, but we do our best to entertain you still.
We're off to an absolutely perfect start.
Yes. So hopefully if all goes as well, next week we'll be back to
right.
sort of regularly scheduled programming.
Right.
But for now, sit back, relax, or don't sit back if you're driving, unless you could still see the road.
Yeah.
As long as you could still see the road, just that's the important thing.
That's
and
right.
The other drivers and stuff there. So, anywho... if you're unfamiliar with Robots Attack, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about tech stuff, video games, comic books, movies, entertainment things, whatever
right.
sort of falls in within the
if you,
geek world.
Right, yeah. If you relate it within your mind to geekish type things, we probably talk about
it. We probably talk about it.
At least a little bit.
A tad, a smidge here and there. So
bits and pieces.
Yeah. What we normally like to do at the beginning of the show is mention some new releases that are coming out this week. And I've still got to get used to this Monday thing. Like, it was weird last week. Like, Thursday came around, and I'm sort of like, okay, I got to get prepped for... Wait, the show's not on.
Yeah, it felt like Thursday was an odd sort of letdown, not having the show on our regularly or previously scheduled time, so... But it's a good way to start the week, too. So
it's true.
I'm looking forward to this and our new season.
Yes. And hopefully this is a wonderful start to your week if you're a new listener or returning listener. All right, let's get to some new releases. I'm going to start us off with coming out in the theater this week. Just a little handful. We've got, if you're looking for something scary, possibly, Annabelle. John Form has found the perfect gift for his expectant wife. Mia, a beautiful, rare vintage doll in a pure white wedding dress. But Mia's delight with Annabelle doesn't last long. On one horrific night, their home is invaded by members of a cult who violently attack the couple. Spilled blood and terror are not all they leave behind. The cultists have conjured an entity so malevolent that nothing they do will compare to the sinister conduit, the damned that is Annabelle. So, probably not for the kids.
Well, I mean, if you have mature kids, maybe.
No, probably not. This next one probably isn't for them either. Sorry, I guess this week is just one of those weeks.
Not for the kiddos.
No. Gone Girl, on the occasion of his fifth wedding anniversary, Nick Dunne, played by Ben Affleck, reports that his beautiful wife, Amy, played by Rosamund Pike, has gone missing. Under pressure from the police and a growing media frenzy, Nick's portrait of a blissful union begins to crumble. Soon as lies, deceits, and strange behavior have everyone asking the same dark question. Did Nick Dunne kill his wife? And I believe this is based off a really popular book.
Okay.
And I want to say it's directed by...
Lawrence Fishburne?
No.
Okay.
The David Fincher.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I think so. I'll double check that, or maybe someone in our audience will let us know. Second, we have The Good Lie. A single woman, played by Reese Witherspoon, helps three Sudanese refugees find jobs in the United States. Maybe that's a little more kid-friendly than the others. And finally, we have Left Behind. A small group of survivors are left behind after millions of people suddenly vanish, and the world is plunged into chaos and destruction. I believe Nicolas Cage is in this.
Nice. The triumphant return of the Cage.
Yes.
Nikolai Cage.
So normally we move on to Blu-rays and DVDs, but
should
since
I jump to comics?
Yeah,
then?
Why don't we jump to comics?
Since yeah.
Otherwise, it's me talking a bunch, and
that's
we
true.
Need to break it and, up.
Yeah, I'm already tired of your voice.
Exactly. So,
so
am I. And I have headphones on, so it's like double.
Okay, we'll move to comics. This is not my normal specialty, but I'll take a shot at least at the number ones for now, because some of them are kind of a big deal. Number one of Thor rings in the first of the female Thors.
Ah.
So that's sort of a new big deal right there. I'm actually thinking of hunting down the comic just because I think it might actually be a big deal. But
mm-hmm.
Past that, we also have season zero, comic one of The Flash. A lot of people are really buzzed about the new Flash series, so the comic book is kind of setting itself up as the perfect setup for the series, so people are pretty energized about that as well. And then Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier number one. So first time Winter Soldier has had his own comic book, but it is kind of interesting having it be Bucky Barnes as his main moniker to start it off. So a lot of people are wondering whether it's going to be more about the person behind the Winter Soldier, although it does kind of set itself up as sort of an old Wolverine storyline where Wolverine has to go out and do the nasty things that nobody wants to know need to be done, except it's Winter Soldier doing them. So
okay.
Let's see. Beyond that, there's also another one that's getting a lot of buzz just because it's so different for a DC Universe series. Gotham Academy number one is coming out. It's looking like it's going to kind of try and fill the gap left by Teen Titans.
Oh, okay.
And in that little corner of the universe, that might be kind of interesting.
Does that round out the...
That's it.
Okay, so we'll move on to some DVD and Blu-rays. We've got Chef Carl Casper, played by Jon Favreau, loses his restaurant job, so he starts up a food truck in an effort to reclaim his creative promise while piecing back together his estranged family.
Huh.
If you're not interested in movies about food, maybe you're interested in movies about transforming dinosaurs and cars... We've got Transformers Age of Extinction, the fourth installment of the blockbuster franchise based on the Hasbro toy line.
Really?
That was the synopsis that Metacritic gave me.
Okay.
Are you here?
For now.
Okay.
Yeah.
When his off-the-grid best buddy Ben Baker, played by Zach Galifianakis, inherits his estranged father's fortune, womanizing local weatherman Steve Dallas, played by Owen Wilson, joins forces with him to battle the legal challenge brought by Ben's formidable sister, played by Amy Poehler. Quite the combination of actors and actresses there. Then we have Ivory Tower. As tuition rates spiral beyond reach and student loan debt passes $1 trillion, more than credit card debt, Ivory Tower asks, is college worth the cost? From the halls of Harvard to public colleges in financial crisis to Silicon Valley, filmmaker Andrew Rossi assembles an urgent portrait of a great American institute at the breaking point. It'd be something worth checking out if you're...
Yeah, I have a fair amount of debt in that department.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I can relate to that one.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Space Station 76, a character-driven domestic dramedy which takes place in a 1970s version of the future where personalities and asteroids collide.
Huh. Okay. Sounds interesting. In the video game field... first off, this is just going to be a list because there's a lot of them this week. Chariot is coming out for PS4. Dark Souls, Crown of the Ivory King DLC is coming out for PS3, 360, and PC. You look like you have something.
I want to say, I think Chariot is... I think there's that game is also dropping on... Xbox One in October.
Just a little.
Okay. As one of the free games with gold.
Interesting.
I think that one.
Yeah, it's funny how it seems like they release a little bit later, but just in time to give it to you. Okay, speaking of Xbox One, exclusive for it is Forza Horizon 2. Non-exclusive for Xbox One, also occurring on the PS4 and PC, is Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. People are really excited about this one.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of, noticing a lot of good reviews for that one.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a lot easier to classify than some other big releases lately, just because it's kind of well-trod territory, just particularly well done. So, sounds interesting to me. I'm going to try and check it out. I don't know. past that, also for practically everything, including Xbox One, 360, PS4, PC, and PS3, Sherlock Holmes, Crime and Punishment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a little, like, trailer showing off, like, the investigative, like, ability.
Oh, okay.
And it reminded me, like, you... He was talking with someone, and like you have a moment to like scan over the person, and you'll like notice things. So it kind of reminded me of like, you know, the new Sherlock and the kind of Robert Downey Jr.
It goes
one.
Into bullet time of him analyzing things.
Like, oh, I noticed this That's on your thing. And so like if you notice, if you can find all those things, it'll like.
Just age your,
yeah, it'll age your like dialogue options and things that you can do like when you're interrogating the person or interviewing them, you know, however you want to call it.
Or if you're running after them on the street, just yelling at them.
Yeah. I noticed you have chalk on your left sleeve.
Right. Let's see. In the PS3 and 360 / last gen arena, and oddly enough, not on PC. I don't know if it's because it was previously released or if this is an actual, just strictly console game. But Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, the Persona 4 series seems to be releasing a lot of little games like that instead of making a Persona 5, which I know is making a lot of people unhappy. Let's see, past that, people might be interested in this one also. I don't really know. Super Smash Brothers coming to 3DS next or at the end of the week. So
yeah, it's kind of a big one for a Nintendo crowd.
Yeah, it seems like people are interested in that.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see which one people gravitate more towards, the 3DS version or when the Wii U version drops later.
Yeah, it'll be... I'd tend to think that the 3DS version would kind of dominate just because that system seems to be a lot healthier than the Wii U. But it is traditionally more of like sit back with your friends in front of a TV type of game. So, yeah, tough call on that one. But that rounds out my video game releases.
Okay. And then I will round out new releases with some music where I get to butcher some names.
Nice.
Not really on purpose. It just sometimes they're really hard. And okay. Anyway, we've got a new album from The History of Apple Pie called Feel Something. The second full-length release for the British Rock Quintet was produced with Charles Reeve and Joshua Third of The Horrors. And we have a new album from Electric Wizard called Time to Die. The eighth studio release for the British doom metal band was produced by lead singer Jus Oborn. Then we have a Lucinda Williams album, Down Where the Spirit Meets the Bone, produced with Tom Overby and Greg Lizzy. The 11th studio release for singer-songwriter includes a song based on a poem by her father, Miller Williams. Then we have a new album from Lee Gamble, Koch. This is the third full-length release for the British electronic producer. And we have a new album from The Rural Alberta Advantage called Mended with Gold. It's the third full-length release for the Canadian indie folk trio. It was co-produced by Matt Lederman and Leon Tenney, something like that. So that rounds out some music. Again, you know, there's like Jason mentioned with video games, there's tons of things coming out this week. We just sort of grab a handful randomly and kind of give you a...
Summarize the cream of the crop, perhaps, hopefully.
Yeah. And if we miss something, oh well, that's... Then you get the...
If you feel like there's more cream in your crop and you want to share that cream, please share it with us.
Yeah. And you can do that. We got a Facebook page. It's Robots Attack Show. Go on there. Leave a comment. We also post our story links and videos and that sort of thing there, so you can check that out. Or you can even email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com, or you can even tweet us, robotsattackme. Normally, Caleb has all of those open. I'll try to have at least probably the Facebook page open, so if you want to participate on the show, you are more than welcome to. Normally, as I said, Caleb has his computer up, and he kind of handles all that stuff, but since he's not here this week...
He's the CompuMancer.
Yeah. So
I like to call him.
Yeah. So I'll try to do as much as I can while I'm also running the CDs and getting the PSAs and trying to get everything in order. So speaking of PSAs, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or in the TuneIn Radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound. And of course, the pro tip we always give is search for KSU, not 103.3 FM, because there are many stations that have 103.3 FM, and you know, it doesn't just belong to KSCU. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're maybe bored sometime and you just want to see how many stations have 103.3 FM, knock yourself out.
I'm sure there's a Radio Peru.
Exactly.
It's
lovely.
Yeah. If you can get a transmission from them, that's great.
That's great. That's the internet's worldwide web.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that. They do that now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They just started, I think.
That's pretty neat.
Not that long ago. It's pretty cool.
We're living in a modern world.
Yeah, I think that maybe they got a Kickstarter and got it approved or
nice.
Something. Nice. But yeah, so that rounds out new releases. We're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with some news. I don't know. Do you want to tease the folks a news story?
Yes. Thai robots want to sample and judge your food.
Whoa.
I'm not even trying to make it like a thing. This is real.
This is real.
This is a concern.
All right. You heard it here first, if this is the first time you're hearing it. So you're going to want to stick around for that. So don't change that dial or button or whatever. However you're listening to this, don't change it. So, all right, we'll be back right after some music with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in the news, and before we get to our first story, we've got another wonderful PSA for you all. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. What do we have for the fine folks out there in Radio Land?
Okay. Here's the thing. This is really serious.
All right.
Thailand does not know if it approves of our Thai food.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So in an effort to make sure that our Thai food is properly Thai, they are putting together a committee called the Thai Delicious Committee.
Okay.
And that committee is putting together a robot to sample Thai food and judge its quality.
A robot?
A robot.
Not actual Thai people.
No. That would be subjective. This needs to be
true.
100% scientific.
Interesting.
And only a robot can be 100% scientific as far as the veracity of your Thai food. So So the Thai Delicious Committee itself has raised about $1 million in Thailand in order to do all of this. And they have partitioned off $100,000 for the building of this robot. The Thai embassies around the world, the hope is that Thai embassies around the world will purchase these robots at $18,000 each so that they can properly tell the region that the embassy is located in how authentic their Thai food is.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not making any of this stuff up. This is the real deal. This Thailand is very... they want to make sure that their Thai food is properly represented around the world.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess good on them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Does seem like they could maybe...
It's a little... Yeah.
Spend that money on... I don't know.
Yeah, is there anything that could possibly use improvement in Thailand other than people's views of their curries?
I don't know.
I mean, but then again, to be fair, compared to just about anything that America spends money on, $1 million isn't really that much.
True.
I don't know what portion of the overall economy $1 million is. To Thailand, but maybe a million budgets here and there isn't a big deal.
Nothing.
Yeah,
maybe
because I sort of want to go there and sample their version of Thai curry. I'd be happy about that.
I wonder what the robot does the article have pictures of the robot?
It does not. It sounds like the robot is still in the testing building phase.
Oh, okay.
But the robot has been named. It is called the E-Delicious Machine.
The E-Delicious Machine.
Huh. Right, E-Delicious Machine.
Okay.
All lowercase, too.
Ah.
I guess they don't feel comfortable capitalizing a robot's name.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't want it to start feeling like pride or anything like that.
That's true. Because
that's the end of the world
first
right
step.
There.
Yeah,
that's
the first step.
That's Skynet right there.
Uh-huh.
Thai
maybe
food-facing
robots.
Right.
This Thai food's terrible. You're going down, Sarakana. Are you the one that made this Thai food? It's terrible. All right. So I have a question for you.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever... And it's actually, this question would be kind of perfect for Caleb if he were here.
Right.
Because he's on a plane right now.
Right. Hopefully without snakes.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
sans snakes, as he would probably say.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my question.
He's into sans things.
That's true.
Mostly Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he does love that font.
I've heard him mention it before.
Maybe a little too much, but
probably.
That is neither here nor there. That could be a discussion topic for a later date on
now
the show.
Now that I've completely derailed your
story.
Well,
my question is...
Sans story.
Sans story, yeah. And we probably lost most of the audience anyway, too. So
no, I think we're hauling them in with sans
with
jokes.
Sans jokes. Ooh, you're not going to get this anywhere else.
Right, no.
You're not.
Exclusive.
Exclusive robots attack. You heard it here first. This is the first time you're hearing about the sans font.
Right.
Anyway, so my question is, have you been on a plane and then you've left the plane and have you left anything behind before, lost anything? Now, I don't mean like... Maybe nothing as big as like a, you know, your they lost your
like
luggage or something.
A pen,
but like,
or a cell phone or something like that.
Yeah, a pen, a cell phone, maybe a sweater, something.
No, never.
No? Okay. Well, if you have, and apparently people have, according to
it's a thing? People lose things on planes?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least according to the Royal Dutch Airlines, they are getting serious about getting your lost things back to you. And recently, they've enlisted help of the furry kind.
Oh.
Yes. I know where you're going.
Okay. I'm holding back here.
There's an ad, and they have... There's been an update to the story, but I'll do the update after.
Right.
They've enlisted the help of a beagle named Sherlock.
Okay.
And in the ad, Sherlock...
The most Sherlock of all dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sherlock, the beagle, goes... They take the item that's been left behind, and I believe in the ad, this time example, it's a cell phone.
Right.
Sherlock sniffs it, and then... They put the cell phone in. He's got little like vest, like pocket jacket thingy on him.
That's nice.
Puts it on, and then they take him through the airport, and he finds the person that this belongs to. And so,
by the way, sir, are these your drugs? You left them on the plane.
Yeah. Like, oh, thank you. though the pup certainly brings an ample amount of cuteness to the airport, Sherlock is deliberate in his training. Quote, we train for muscle strength, endurance, and, of course, socialization, Dirk Van Deer, Sherlock's trainer, says. They've brought...
Sherlock is a professional.
It is.
First and foremost.
If you're going to do it right, you gotta do it the best.
Right.
They brought Sherlock in after the airlines received a high number of queries about left-behind items, and so far it's been a great success. The company released a statement on Tuesday saying they were able to return 80% of the items found on planes, from electronics to stuffed animals.
Oh, wow. That's a fair percentage.
Yeah.
We need more Sherlocks. Is there a Watson on the way?
Maybe. Now, here's the thing. The update is that Sherlock... isn't technically part of the crew. They didn't hire him. He's part of the marketing team. So
okay, that
he
makes
won't
some sense.
Always be there. So, you know, it's like they might... the way they sort of made it sounds like he's not an official member of the team.
Okay.
But he'll make appearances here and there. So I'm guessing...
So that 80% is when he's there.
That's my guess, yeah. Okay. Which is... if you're lucky to get Sherlock on the case, you have an 80% likelihood of getting your stuff back.
Yeah. Complete with dog pockets.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird, like a new... Anyway, before I go off on a completely different tangent.
Sans tangent.
Dog pockets. okay. Have you been surfing on the web and thought to yourself, I wish I could access and use Photoshop over the web. Well, if you have...
Yes.
Yeah, right? Well, it's a big thing. Everybody wants to access Photoshop over the web. But Chromebook, or I guess more specifically Google, in partnership with Adobe, the creators of Photoshop... if you didn't know who makes Photoshop. They recently teamed up in order to make Photoshop accessible over the internet strictly through Chrome-based devices. So Chromebooks, the Chrome browser, that's kind of it.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I suppose you could use it over Chrome on your phone, too, if you use Chrome on a phone. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting idea that's been tossed around for a long time, is having access to large programs just completely over the internet instead of having things be based on your computer, because the internet is getting fast and people don't like having giant programs and people like their devices to be small and to be able to not pack a giant hard drive along with them.
Yeah.
So this has been an idea that's been tossed around for a long time, but they're finally actually realizing it, and everybody's kind of chomping at the bit to get their hands on it, just because nobody knows how smoothly it will run. Because Photoshop is a fairly intensive program if you're running it the way most people try and use Photoshop, I suppose. Because if you're not into Photoshop, you're probably just using some other knockoff thing.
Yeah.
But if you're doing giant 24-bit files, you're using Photoshop, and you're wondering if that can be pumped over the internet as quickly as you need it on your Chrome device. But still, I mean, this is a completely new type of thing, and I hope it's a step in the direction of a lot of programs like this kind of running that way. Because the video game industry has been kind of pushing this idea for a while, too.
Yeah.
And kind of stumbled over it a lot. But still, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you got to take that first step.
Right.
Somebody's got to
give it. First Penguin, I think, is one. Yeah, that's the thing. So
my question then is...
Right. We have a lot of questions tonight.
Yeah, we do. Well, when Caleb's not here, you know...
Right. We're very questioning. We're an inquisitive show here.
So, were you a fan of Oregon Trail?
I wouldn't say a fan, but I was...
Did you get a lot of dysentery?
I was pretty awesome at it. I never got dysentery, and I killed a lot of bison.
Oh, wow.
I should have been stopped.
Well.
Oh, the bison they killed.
Wow. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I love this pixel version on my computer, but only if I could live this in the real world, that would be the greatest thing ever. I'm not sure how to break that down. I assume that thought has crossed your mind?
Maybe.
At some point?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Heritage Center offers live-action role-play of the Oregon Trail.
Did you say Oregon Trail LARPing? Is that what I understood?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Visitors can now experience the infamous educational game, the Oregon Trail, in real-time through live-action role-play.
Okay.
It's currently available at the Willamette Heritage Center in Salem, Oregon, who started the program in an effort to connect with young people and teach them about the trials suffered by the pioneers during the trek west. Writer Emily Gosvenor wrote about the experience for The Atlantic, explaining a bit about how it worked. Quote, teams of 2 to 4 people, many in pioneer garb, build a wagon out of paper and dowel rods before tackling 10 challenges inspired by the computer game. Okay. Things like floating the wagon across a kiddie pool, shooting a game with Nerf guns, competing in a 3-legged dysentery race to an outhouse.
Okay. A 3-legged dysentery race.
Hey, teams. It's important.
There's a lot of diseases that are 3-legged diseases that I'm not sure they should get into.
No.
Dysentery was probably the appropriate one to choose.
The most popular probably from the game. According to Gosvenor, each team is given a star at the end of a challenge, the color of which informing them how well their team survived the fox hardship.
I'm just imagining some dude in like a bison costume, like running around getting hit by Nerf guns.
Nerf guns, yeah.
Why won't they stop? This is worse than my last job at the golf.
Called the Oregon Trail Live, the program has been running for several years now. Several years now.
Wow.
And tries
and
to capture.
And we're just hearing about it now?
I know. Well, you know, sometimes it takes.
It takes Salem, Oregon.
You know, what's the first rule of the club, of that club? You don't talk about that club.
Okay, right,
and
yeah.
And then, you know, what's the second rule? You don't talk about the club and stuff like that. So
right,
maybe
that applies to Oregon Trails.
Oregon Trail live action. So, yeah, it tries to capture the attention of its participants the same way its educational computer game counterpart did during the 80s. So, yeah, if you have always dreamed of LARPing, and your real dream, though, was to experience the trek to the west.
Right.
Oregon Trail style. Head on up to Salem, Oregon, and you can...
I want to see those Nerf guns. I want to see if they, like, properly weathered them, made them look like old Winchester rifles and such.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Got to get that authentic...
Right.
You don't want to get pulled out of the world when you see the orange foam...
Right.
...on the sticky Nerf part.
Yeah, the kiddie pool... That seems authentic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And speaking of authentic, you are listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
It has been sampled by Thai robots and deemed tasty. I don't really know if it has, but anyway. Okay, all sorts of crazy twists and turns in what has been dubbed Bend Gate. And if you don't know what Bend Gate is, it's the idea or the prevailing belief that the new iPhones bend easily in pockets and whatnot. So Consumer Reports decided that they needed to get right on this, and they did a pressure test on a whole bunch of phones to figure out exactly how bendy the iPhone 6s are. And they are significantly more bendy than the iPhone 5s were. And about twice as significantly more bendy than the Samsung Note, which is kind of the Samsung version of the iPhone 6 Plus. Anyway, so that's just the raw data, but there's a bunch of other little twists and turns, because the original video that started this entire crazy thing, if you're familiar with it, there was a guy called Louis Helzenker. Anyway, people have been poring over his little video that he posted on YouTube, trying to find things wrong with it to see if there is a possible new bend gate twist to bend gate. And
okay,
apparently there are two different times on his bent iPhone 6. And so people are trying to say that something is amiss here, because you can't have two times on a video. It's impossible. Yeah, because videos are like instant and immediate. I just watched it. It just happened. So two times, that's a problem right there. Anyway, so some people have pointed out to the detractors that things like editing, and that you can film a video over the course of a day or so, can create different times on a phone. But that has not stopped people from attacking the video pretty profusely. And that's not like the end of it at all. There's been a rash of iPhone breaking crimes.
Ooh.
Across the nation.
What?
From people going into Apple stores
and just like bending.
And bending.
Oh, jeez. Wow. It's a good thing Caleb isn't here. He'd start crying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. One of the biggest ones of these was a group of kids that decided to film the entire thing as they went from Apple store to Apple store bending iPhone 6s to death. They destroyed an estimated $2,500 worth of iPhones, surely by bending them.
Wow.
Yeah, teenagers.
Jeez.
But just in case you were worried that, or you thought, well, teenagers, they do crazy things. I mean,
I do.
It's unfortunate. Apple should never be harmed by teenage hands. But a fairly significant grown-up ended up being caught doing this also. a big-name Wall Street analyst. Let's see if we can get his name. let's see. Walter Pierkrick, I think, is his name.
Okay.
He apparently wanted to make sure that the iPhone was also not bendable, and successfully broke one, and then promptly tweeted about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Complaining that it's not bendable. So yeah, plenty of real smart people on Wall Street who are not familiar with the law, apparently.
Doesn't seem like it.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. I don't really know how to segue to that.
I've got the best stories ever this week. There's no way you can segue away from them.
No, I can't. That's why I think what we're going to do is we're going to take another music break and then come back with some more news.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I think so, too.
Need to take a breather after
all
that.
Yeah. Let the audience absorb all that news knowledge we just threw at them.
Right. You're welcome, audience.
You are welcome. And you'll want to stick around for more because there's going to be more. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSEU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Breaking Out of the Box, sponsored by the City of Santa Clara's Cultural Commission. Breaking Out of the Box art exhibition opened April 17th of this year. The exhibition, juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art, fills the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admission is free. The Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. Stop by and enjoy lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-2210. That's 408-615-2210.
News.
That's right. We're back with more Robots Attack and more news.
Yes. I have another question for you.
Okay.
Do you remember a little tiny scene back in the original Jurassic Park movie where they were talking about...
Hold on to your butts?
No.
Oh, okay.
Before that. Where they were talking about like the miracle of genetic engineering and all of that, and they were talking about how they actually create the dinosaurs. It was part of that ride thing.
Dino DNA!
Right, yes. Part of that entire thing.
Okay, yes.
And yeah, the little animated guy ends up saying, like, with the use of virtual reality, we are able to mess with DNA somehow in science and so on. Well, anyway, it's something that stuck in my head because it was like, I don't know what that has to do with DNA whatsoever.
Yeah.
But that would be really cool because I'm into, like, making things and so on. And if I had virtual reality, I would like to be able to make things in virtual reality.
Yeah,
because it showed the guy kind of like messing with a DNA strand
in
virtual reality.
And sort of like, I guess in a slightly more updated kind of thing, like in Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
Right,
like
exactly.
Doing
all of the things like...
Put some candy apple red in or whatever it was. Or
exactly.
Something.
Something
of course you need Jarvis then or something.
Right. Well, apparently you don't need Jarvis anymore, at least do a little bit of sculpting. This is a very early draft on something that's really neat in my view. A guy took the combination of an Oculus Rift along with Razer's handheld HydroMotion controllers, which is kind of like Wiimote type things, if you're not familiar with them.
Okay.
Anyway, so he figured out how to link them together to make it so you can alter a ball of clay in fictional space.
Mm.
And kind of, if you're familiar with any sort of like city modeling type of games like SimCity or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
If you're like building up the environment, like with kind of add dirt to things, kind of build things. Well, you can do that to a sphere that's just floating in air. And with one hand, you can kind of twist the sphere and move it around. And with the other hand, you can either zap things off of it or build off of it.
Oh, okay.
With the two little Wiimote-looking things that are properly known as Razer handheld HydroMotion controllers.
If you want to get technical.
Anyway, so this guy created a little piece of software that makes these two things interact called VR Clay. And it's really amazing to see. I'm going to try and make sure that the video for it ends up on our Facebook page relatively quickly. So if you're into any sort of sculpting or just art in general, it really brings home how virtual reality can become a really interesting art space really quickly. It's really exciting stuff to me. Cool. This guy basically ends up creating a spider out of thin air in like, I don't know, like a minute or something like that. And it looks super easy. It's just him kind of twisting his hands around and shooting at the thing a little bit. And yeah, it's really neat to see what they've done too, because for the video to kind of bring it home, they don't just show him from his viewpoint within the Oculus. Oh. They show it overlaid onto the space that's actually in front of him.
Oh, okay.
So it's him like looking at him manipulating this thing like third person, and it's really cool.
Okay. Well, we go from something that you're super excited about to something I'm super excited about.
Okay.
Because
not Dino DNA?
No Dino DNA.
Okay.
But as a wee lad, I was a huge fan of both Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey films.
Oh, right.
You know, a lot of people were like, the second one wasn't as good as the first one, but I liked them both.
Okay.
I thought they were both really cool. But anyway, Alex Winter, Bill.
Oh, okay, yes.
He actually shed some light on Bill and Ted 3.
Huh.
He said there's going to be multiple timelines. There will be multiple versions of Bill and Ted. Alex Winter has spoken about the upcoming Bill and Ted 3, including a few details of its non-linear plot line.
I'm really interested to see them being those characters grown up. Let's see what that turns out like.
Quote, there's many versions of ourselves in this movie, Winter says in an interview with Yahoo Movies. Again, no Latino review, man.
I know. They're slipping. Yeah.
It's answering the question, what happened to these guys? They're supposed to have done all this stuff. They weren't the brightest bulbs on the tree. What happened 20 years later?
Right.
To answer that question in a comedic way felt rich with possibility.
Yeah.
This echoes a plot teased by his co-star Keanu Reeves back in 2012. Winter goes on to say that the movie fits very neatly in the series. It's not going to feel like a reboot. The conceit is really funny. What if you're middle-aged, haven't really grown up, and you're supposed to have saved the world, and maybe, just maybe, you kind of haven't? He admits that getting Bill and Ted 3 to the big screen has been a long, boring, protracted process.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But says that the script has been finished for a while. Dean Pursuit, Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
Is set to direct the long-awaited Bill and Ted 3 with Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter attached, who plays their roles as Ted Logan and Bill Preston.
Nice.
Respectively. Bill and Ted fans, be sure to check out. There's an interview on within the story link with Keanu Reeves from 2013. But yeah, it's nice to hear that it's not like completely dead. I know there were, you know, little talks here and there of like, yeah, we're going to do it, but then nothing.
And
really.
That director has definitely proven himself able to handle subject matter that's kind of in that field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm actually really much more interested in that now.
Should be an interesting fit.
Yeah,
I wonder how they will handle since the passing of George Carlin. Like,
right, that's true.
Since he was kind of a big kind of character, you know, at least in the first one. And
I can imagine them handling that pretty well. So it would be a really good homage to him also, it seems like. But yeah, I just totally want to see something that's kind of at least one little thing that's kind of joking at Keanu Reeves becoming something like one of the like his character from Matrix or something like that. Just something like that. That's all I want. That'll tickle my funny bone. Anyway, what doesn't tickle my funny bone is dead plants.
That's true. That's sad.
Yeah. As an apartment dweller, I don't know if you out there in Radio Land have kind of struggled with this as much as I have, but keeping plants alive in an apartment environment has been a genuine struggle for me because I actually kind of like plants and greenery, but I do kill them.
But not on purpose.
No. Well, not usually. Anyway, there's a new invention that I actually need to look into because it's basically a shelf that's specially made to keep any plants that you set on it alive. It's kind of a genius design in my view, just because it's really simple. It just has a big reservoir of water up at the top that's a clear glass container. So you can both see it, and it ends up looking vaguely sculptural and kind of pretty, I'd assume, when the water and the light is actually shining through it.
Oh, okay.
But from there, instead of doing some sort of weird thing where it wraps hoses all the way to your plants and does a bunch of nasty looking things, instead it feeds a hose through the legs of the shelf onto a membrane on the shelves itself. So just the shelf itself is always moist with the water from above.
Huh.
So the idea is that you fill the tank of water and it lasts for about a month, and you just set your plants down on the shelf without like one of those little drip containers on the bottom. And by setting it down on the bottom, it naturally wicks the water up into the plant.
Huh.
So it's a super simple, elegant way of keeping plants alive, in my view. And it's kind of pretty, too. So I'm going to be looking into getting one, or possibly ripping off the idea and making it myself. But yeah, we'll have a link for you to check it out as well.
So some could say it's a genius idea. Speaking of genius.
Oh, yes.
Real genius getting TV reboot from Adam Sandler.
Huh, okay.
The beloved 80s film starring Val Kilmer about college geeks trying to make the ultimate laser will now be turned into a TV sitcom, according to reports. Whether it's Stargate or even another Blade Runner, no 80s hit film seems to be safe from a reboot. Now it appears real genius has been chosen to find a new generation of fans. According to Entertainment Weekly, the hit 1985 film, which featured the comedic talents of actor Val Kilmer as an eccentric genius monitoring a brilliant young student, or mentoring a brilliant young student in the ways of having fun, will be rebooted as a NBC, quote, modern-day workplace comedy focusing on the relationship of two incompatible co-workers.
Oh, okay.
The sitcom is penned by David King, Parks and Recreation, and Greg DeGregorio, Workaholics.
Okay.
EW
That's
reports.
An interesting combo.
Yeah. EW reports Adam Sandler's Happy Madison Productions, 3 Arts Entertainment, and Sony TV are all on board to give Real Genius a TV makeover. There have been some reaction from fans wondering, like, okay, we're not expecting this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of thing. No word yet from the original Real Genius star, Kilmer, on whether he'll be making a guest appearance, but I'd imagine it'd be pretty cool if they could get him in somehow, even as like a little cameo of some sort of something.
Yeah, it seems like they'd be able to.
But yeah, when I saw that story, I was like, oh yeah, I like that movie. I'm like, wait, yeah. Getting a TV series? Oh,
yeah,
all right.
It's both completely understandable and difficult to fathom at the same time.
Yeah.
I have one final story.
Okay.
This was something that was super interesting to me just because it's kind of a story about how insane miniaturization has gone. And we're used to miniaturization just being like computer chips, cell phones, stuff like that. Well, this is kind of an extension of the cell phone thing. This might end up creating absolutely microscopic cells in the cell phones. Well, okay, maybe not microscopic, but very small. They just created a 16 by 26 millimeter 3G chip.
Whoa.
That's kind of small.
It's funny. This reminds me of I think it was an SNL skit a long ways back where...
Uh-huh.
Oh man, I forget his name, but he was Steve Jobs, and they were like kind of poking fun at the, you know, like, okay, we got this brand new iPod, it's this small, and then, you know, it's like, I don't know, 2 inches or something.
Right.
And then like 30 seconds later, it's like, it's too big, tosses in, we've got the brand new
one.
Like,
yeah, I remember that now.
You just came out with that other one.
Right.
Like, no, that one's too big, it's ugly, it's horrible, I hate it.
Yeah, the thing that jumps to mind is, what was the name of the movie with the male supermodels?
Zoolander?
Yeah, Zoolander with the little tiny phones in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this tiny, tiny chip, 3G chip, has been already certified by AT&T, so it is basically going to end up in products very quickly. And it's not just a 3G chip. It also has assisted GPS built into it. So you can make a GPS cell phone, basically a full-featured cell phone, absolutely tiny because this chip is basically the size of your thumbnail and about as thick as maybe three of your fingernails stacked together.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see where this is going to push things, if it's going to end up having a weird tug of war between having something that's really full-featured versus, like, halfway usable. Like, I can imagine the sort of the smart watches that are out there becoming just their own thing really easily instead of having them be hooked on another cell phone. But we'll see.
Well, I'll do one last story too to wrap up the news.
Okay, fair enough. I'll let you. I'll allow it.
It's a sad story. Uh-oh. If you're a fan of PlayStation Home.
Oh.
Which,
yes.
In concept, when it was originally sort of pitched and they were talking about it, seemed like a neat idea, but
it was the idea that had me most sold on the PS3.
Yeah.
But I never bought a PS3.
Yeah. And they never, it just never got implemented well. And it just was like, why would you?
Right.
You turn your system on, you're going to jump into some games with friends. Like, why would I want to then, like, jump into this other thing that takes a little bit to load up? And,
it was such a cool concept.
Yeah.
The way it functions in my brain. It's impossible for it to ever actually happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It almost seems like if it was, like, the thing that started, like, right when you booted up your system, like, that's what you jumped into type of a thing.
If,
like,
it was the actual user interface for the system.
Yeah. And maybe, like, for the PS, like, maybe a system with a little more power so it could boot up, like, really fast and that sort of thing. So it would just seem like it was kind of ahead of its time.
Maybe
just
PlayStation
not,
TV, it'll make a resurgence.
Maybe. But anyway, it looks like PlayStation Home is shutting down. So Sony has announced that it is closing down the virtual world social networking service, PlayStation Home. According to the PlayStation forums, PlayStation Home will cease to publish new content from November 12th. Players will not be able to download any more content after December 3rd. The full shutdown takes place in March 31st of 2015. So you've got a little bit of time to still...
It's kind of sad that it is a full shutdown. I'm surprised they don't at least keep some element of it running. But
yeah. Looks like until then, players who stick with the service will receive free content as a token of Sony's gratitude. Doesn't really say what that will be, but
yeah.
PlayStation Home has been up and running on the PlayStation 3 since 2008 and received various updates throughout its run, along with a major redesign in 2011. So, if you're still roaming around PlayStation Home, you've got a little bit more time to play with your home.
Yeah, I know it probably sounds like really kind of depressing in a weird sort of way, but I really looked forward to creating this weird little world of mine in a fictional apartment that is like a dream come true sort of environment. I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But never really came together.
Well, that's what The Sims is for.
Yeah, that and killing fictional versions of yourself off.
Or making them have wonderful lives.
Nobody does that. Eventually people become frustrated with them. And
you could be the change.
Build a pool that doesn't have stairs out of it.
You could be the change that the world needs. Speaking of things that the world needs, and they can have right now. If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Remember, pro tip, search for KSU, the call letters, not 103.3 FM.
Nobody likes numbers anyway.
Nope, it's all about the letters.
All about the letters these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of letters, the next band I'm going to play has got nothing to do with letters.
its name is made of letters.
Its name is made of letters. It's the Greyhounds, or it's a bus.
Right.
Service, or a dog. Those both have letters.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's not many numbers in a dog.
No. All right. We'll be back.
Arguably a lot of number two and number one, but.
That's true. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, with some geek talk. Jason's going to talk up some Destiny, played some more. So stick around for that. Maybe I'll chime in with some other stuff, and then we'll wrap it up for the evening. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this music break. San Jose Animal Advocates are an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer. Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're now on Geek Talk. This is where we sit back. Kick back.
I'm going to get my game face on.
Yes.
Because I played video games.
Because Jason's
going to... a video game.
A video game. Because Jason's going to talk all about Destiny.
Yes.
And it's your destiny to hear about Jason's destiny.
Yes. For now. I ended up playing a ton of Destiny over the weekend and ended up getting... my character up to a point where it gets past the normal leveling structure of the game. And
okay.
I was actually really surprised how quickly and easily it happened. And it didn't end up taking as much like crazy game grinding as everybody made it sound like it would. And it really made me question why the loot cave thing even became a thing in the first place.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, okay, the kind of idea behind the loot cave thing, and I touched on it in a previous episode and actually a pleasant experience that I had with it, but overall it was kind of a weird draining thing just because you just mindlessly sit back and shoot at something for... like hours until you get the things that allow you to level up. But I ended up having a fairly nice experience with it because some crazy stuff happened in between. But I understand that's not the normal experience, and that's why the entire thing was shut down. So the thing that's making me wonder like why they did any of that stuff in the first place was I just... got online and started playing multiplayer stuff on the game, and I was really thrown off by how quickly I ended up getting much better things than the loot cave ever gave me at all. And I it just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, just because the multiplayer game, the way it's structured, you do kind of naturally level up your character just by playing that way. So I wasn't even maxed out in the normal structure when I was doing it to begin with. I was level 18, I think, and fairly short order ended up level 20. But even beyond that, they have fairly decent loot that ends up dropping randomly to the people that are in the game. and playing the multiplayer stuff. So why you would spend so much time just doing nothing doesn't make any sense to me anymore. Because basically, if you end up finishing out a round of the game, it ends up having, best I can tell, a base amount of loot that ends up being dispersed over everybody's different characters. And it's not necessarily just going to be thrown at the people who took like the top three spots of the game either. It's actually kind of randomized a little bit, so it's a much greater chance of you getting it if you were in first place. But
oh, okay.
But in general, you can get good stuff just because you were participating. And so, yeah, I ended up getting completely rared out on every single one of my weapons and all of my gear with just one day of playing. And why that would happen at all is, or yeah, it's hard for me to even understand.
Was there like updates or something?
There was, but I don't, best I understand, it didn't have anything to do with that stuff at all. It mostly fixed the cave problem in general, and they tried to knock out as many of the caves as they could, and it sounds like it's kind of an ongoing thing to do that, but it seems to me like they might have tweaked things just a little bit to have a little bit better loot. The one thing that I did come across that a lot of people are complaining about is they have a structure for loot drops that's called the engram. And basically, it's a like an encoded type of item that you have to take back to the main base for the game and decode in order to make it into something. So you can get an absolutely maxed out engram that when you actually take it back home again, it ends up being a decent chunk of the time something that isn't really all that great in the first place. Even though it was a completely rared out engram, it could end up being just a really normal piece of loot or something that's made for just customizing things, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of people complained about that, and they made it sound like that was going to be fixed, and best I can tell, that wasn't really fixed at all. But still, you end up getting stuff relatively quickly by actually having fun and competing against people that aren't like really angry juveniles compared to a lot of the other games. So it's kind of nice being able to just have fun in that environment and actually accomplish fairly big things. So
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I understand there's some technical difficulties happening here, so.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess I heard that they are like found another loot cave or something, somebody, but yeah. Now are they shutting that down too or something?
I think they're going to be stomping them out for quite a while to come, just because a lot of people seem to be familiar with just the idea of grinding out loot, and I wish the message would go out there that if you just actually played the game, if you tried out multiplayer, even though it may not be something that you think you're interested in, it's actually really kind of slick. And it's particularly nice being able to use that style of character in a multiplayer setting, being able to do all of the crazy jumps and kind of kitbash some Titanfall-style parkour out of the entire thing, too. It's really rewarding, and the maps, there's tons of maps and all sorts of interesting places, including being able to see places that you wouldn't normally have access to in the first place. Like, I had no idea that I could actually go to the to Mercury at all, and was able to get a sample of what that planet is like even before any sort of stuff has been released for the game in that planet.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it's really interesting to see all of the different environments through that.
Do you have a favorite?
Let's see. So far, I'm actually liking Mars quite a bit. Well, two of them. Mars, and there's a moon base. I'm kind of personally trending more towards the smaller settings, like the 3v3 gameplay, just because the larger environments end up becoming more like sniper fodder than anything else. And I'm not really good enough at sniping in that game to really hold my own in general, just because a lot of the areas are really open, or they end up being kind of a big vista that you have to scan over way too quickly in order to assess where a sniper, rival sniper is.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think I could probably manage something like that if I played a lot more of it and got more familiar with sniper locations, so to speak. But yeah, I'm really satisfied with all of the smaller maps, because the moon one especially, it's a really tight... It reminds me of something out of Dead Space. Like, there's a bunch of missions in Dead Space where you have kind of a core that looks like something out of Event Horizon or something like that.
Oh, okay.
They sort of did something like that, and it has quarters that kind of wrap around this core-like device.
Oh, okay.
And so the way that all of these things interconnect, but they're still pointed out towards this big thing that's rotating around, it ends up making a really interesting environment for oddly enough, like, sniping in close quarters, because you have all of these different layers that end up hiding you fairly well if you're patient enough to kind of get the jump on a group of people.
Oh, okay.
But a big part of it, too, that's really satisfying is how it kind of naturally ends up forcing you together as a more coherent group and using your different abilities together. It's a lot more useful to have at least one person who's of the Titan class to kind of lead the way and soak up some of the damage.
Oh, okay.
And then but they have really interesting ways of making all of the classes kind of shine outside of their normal area also. Like, I saw a ton of gameplay, I got killed a ton of times by one of the hunter final abilities, which ends up being kind of like a crazy knife fight mode where he can kind of do little teleports all over the place do one-hit melee kills. And it was already a decent enough class when it had the ability to summon a gun that fires like solar energy that kills people in one shot, but being able to move around that quickly, especially in an environment like those corridors, gets really crazy really fast. But it's really satisfying, just because if you manage to pull off a kill on one of those guys, you feel really powerful.
Nice. Cool. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about Destiny as the weeks go on, especially as they do more raid stuff and introduce more things to the game.
Yeah.
It seems like that's kind of their goal.
Yeah, and I was really concerned whether I would get to the point in that game where I'd feel like I can handle the bigger things, and suddenly just realizing, oh wait, I'm there, and I actually have stuff that's good enough that I'm advancing without the leveling system, without really trying too hard, just by having fun. Okay, I might be into this game.
Nice. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9 with more Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. On behalf of myself, Joe, and Jason, I want to thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend, and we will see you again next time. All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon, Verada, Misto.